You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up today at 6 on 1A Plus, it's getting more difficult to live next to someone we disagree with politically. Find out why communities are getting sorted into different political groups and what it could take to get people connected. That's today at 6 on 1A Plus. Now, when you think of business startups, you might think of Silicon Valley in California. And if you think about business startups in Wisconsin, you might start with the Madison and Milwaukee metropolitan areas. But the state is seeing opportunities for business development in mid-size and smaller cities. The two main metropolitan areas are still Wisconsin's strongest business hubs, but our next guest says other communities across the state like Eau Claire, La Crosse, Beloit, and more are proving to be friendly to startups and small business growth. We're learning more about what the startup business environment looks like in Wisconsin, what resources are out there for small business owners, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you noticed a lot of new businesses opening up or moving into your community? Have you started a small business here in the state yourself? What was the process like? Did you have what you needed in your community, or were there obstacles to overcome, more so than you think there needed to be? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Tom Still is a senior lecturer emeritus in the Department of Life Sciences Communication at UW-Madison and president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. His organization is holding its annual Wisconsin Early Stage Symposium tomorrow and Thursday in Madison. Tom, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me, Rob. Pleasure to be back.
Before we survey the landscape around Wisconsin, why is new business startup an important part of our economy here in the state?
Well, generally speaking, young businesses, and by that I mean, you know, up to maybe 5 years old, are often the businesses, if there are enough of them, that are creating the jobs of tomorrow. Older businesses sometimes gain jobs, sometimes shed jobs. You can see that in just the general economy. But young businesses are often the ones that are generating new jobs, more jobs, and jobs that may be different from whatever you saw in the past.
I mentioned that event coming up in the next couple of days, and you wrote recently that you are getting applications to hear from people starting up businesses, you know, not just in the two big metro areas of Madison and Milwaukee. What are you hearing from people around the state?
Well, I mean, the companies that are going to be presenting at this conference, have been, you know, they're coming from all over in Wisconsin. I mean, Appleton, Beloit, Eau Claire, Fontana, Fort Atkinson. Places as small as Wittenberg, Sturgeon Bay, Partyville. So there's a lot happening in that way. And it's part of a pattern that we've been seeing for a little while now. I think there are many reasons that this is, but, you know, you can start with COVID and the fact that some people may have been displaced from jobs they had in the past and decided to strike out on their own. I think that a lot of communities are proving to be very livable around Wisconsin, and I think that's a big deal today, and especially compared to some places on the coast. We're seeing successful patrons in some of those communities, especially Eau Claire, Beloit, and La Crosse, people who have been entrepreneurs, know what it takes, and they're giving back. So there's a variety of different things, including the overall infrastructure in Wisconsin that's a lot better than we've seen in some time.
How so? What would you point toward in our infrastructure?
Well, I think for starters, there is progress on broadband. That is getting better in many places across Wisconsin. Far from perfect, but it is better. And if you're going to run a new emerging business, and especially one that might be somewhere in a space that involves technology, you need broadband. So that's one thing that's happened. I think we're seeing greater investment in Wisconsin. And that's overall. And so this includes Madison and Milwaukee. But in 2021, we saw $868 million in venture and angel capital investment. That was almost twice the previous record year. And despite this year being a tough year in some ways in the economy, we're seeing some great, great numbers for this year as well. We're seeing different accelerators and other organizations that are setting up places in these communities, and sometimes small to mid-size, where it's really helping in terms of mentoring entrepreneurs, exposing them to business practices, trying to help them, you know, really stay on their feet at critical times.
Talking to Tom Still with the Wisconsin Technology Council, looking at business startups, new business creation here in Wisconsin, and finding it is spread out around the state, not just in the biggest metropolitan areas. You can join in with your comments, questions, maybe experiences at 800-642-1234. Are you involved in a local community leadership position and you're working to try to attract businesses or help businesses start up and get off the ground at their early stages? Have you started a business at some point in your life yourself? What helped? What hindered you? What helped you choose which community to do it in? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Now, Tom, suppose somebody out there is listening in local leadership in a community that you haven't listed, and they want to be on that list. They want to make their community a startup-friendly area. What are some starting points you might steer them toward?
Well, for starters, they could check in with us, and we can help them in some ways. And in some ways, we can just be a conduit to get them better attached and to other resources that are closer to home. I'll list a couple of examples of places that might be good to start. For example, the WISIS Technology Foundation has created a venture home program. Now, WISIS handles intellectual property from all of the campuses around the state, with the exception of Madison and Milwaukee. So some of the comprehensive campuses, they're doing things to work with those communities to set up things that are very close to home. Another good example is the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, which is gone through a couple of administrations now, both the Walker administration, the Evers administration, very bipartisan. Its board of directors is bipartisan. And they have a really experienced team that helps with young companies. We're seeing things like we helped to create this. It's called the Badger Fund of Funds, which is an investment arm that really is spread out around the state and looks for making investments at the level that it's really going to be smaller companies, at least starting out. So they're somewhere in the range of $400,000 to $500,000 on their average investment. So those are just some three quick examples, but it's always worth checking with the small business development centers around the state. It's always worth checking with some of the regional economic development corporations. For example, Momentum West is in 10 counties in western Wisconsin. Grow North is in the far northeast. On and on, there's some great examples of what's going on.
You also mentioned incubators, and there are accelerators out there. First of all, what are those?
Well, there are some important differences between incubators and accelerators. Incubators can often be mainly a place to hang your hat, and there may be others there. Another term for that is a co-working space. They provide a lot of sort of logistics around the young company, but they don't necessarily work with that company on formation, attracting capital, learning how to make better presentations, learning what it takes to just stay in business and attract customers. Accelerators are much more known for doing that. One of the best accelerators in the country is here. It's called Generator. And they're still very active in Madison, Milwaukee. And by the way, nothing I'm saying takes away anything from Madison, Milwaukee, because they're still amazing engines. But they are doing things around the rest of the state as well. There's some other examples like that of accelerators. A good example in Green Bay, and it's also an investment fund, is Titletown Tech. Titletown Tech is now raising its second investment fund of about $80 million. It has invested in a couple of dozen companies so far. It's right in the shadow of Lambeau Field in Green Bay and doing some great stuff. They have really started to put Green Bay on the map as an emerging tech center. So there's help around, especially in some cities, for accelerators that can really give you that extra octane as a young company.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Anthony is with us in Eau Claire. Anthony, hi.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I just wanted to confirm everything Tom's saying. I went through the WISIS Startup Accelerator program in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and partnering with the CoLab and the University of Wisconsin Eau Claire Entrepreneurship Department. And, you know, I was unknown to this whole world of startups, and everything was so strange to me, and they just open your eyes, more so than what the SBA and EDC and SBDC, they all do great to help you get a business plan and get the business understanding under your feet. But in the world of startups and fundraising and just that world that's unknown to most people, doing a startup accelerator, you know, it's no cost usually to the founder. There are some larger ones now entering the state, like Generator and such, that do take a little bit of a piece of equity, but they give you funding in return. And it's been an excellent experience, and I'll be at the early stage symposium pitching my company in the next 2 days.
All right, Anthony, thanks a lot for sharing that. A testimonial there, Tom.
Yeah, that's great. And Anthony's right. I mean, it can be a kind of a confusing world, especially for people who perhaps did not have a lot of hands-on experience previously as entrepreneurs. It can also be a very lonely world. And that's what sometimes gets some entrepreneurs, is they feel like they're just out there all by themselves, banging their head against whatever wall. And they, you know, they need that kind of help. I mean, and, you know, I'm honored to be a part of the board of trustees for WISIS, which is setting up these venture home programs around the state. And the one in Eau Claire is really a good and successful one. In fact, of the nearly 40 companies we have presenting Wednesday and Thursday in Madison during the early stage symposium, 5 of them are out of that program. And so it is starting to really produce some awesome results.
Anthony, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Wisconsin Technology Council President Tom Still about business startups in the state. And it's not just a Madison, Milwaukee metropolitan market thing. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions you have about business startups in Wisconsin? Have you thought about starting a business of your own, or are you in the midst of doing that? Have you done it? Do you have some advice to share? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Tom Still, president of the Wisconsin Technology Council, with us today looking at the startup business environment in the state. Outside of Milwaukee and Madison metropolitan areas, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Wherever you are, though, how friendly is your community to start up businesses? Do you see a lot of new people, say, hiring in your area? What makes your city or town a good place for business? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Pat is with us in Green Bay. Hi, Pat.
Greetings. How are we all doing tonight?
Great. What did you want to bring up, Pat?
Okay, question for you. As I am slowly reaching retirement age, I'm in the process of taking my hobby and working it around into a small business. Not a business that will hire anybody. It's basically just keeping myself in, you know, spending money as I retire. Because we only know, nobody has any idea what our economy is going to be like. So what is out there? I mean, this isn't a tech business. This is basically a, for lack of a better term, it's woodenwares.
Sure.
I don't know if you follow what that would be, but what is out there to help me to find out what I need to do.
I gotcha.
Who I need to talk to.
Pat, thanks a lot for the call. Now, Pat's not alone here, Tom. A good percentage of startup businesses are, I'm starting a business, my employee is me, whether it's, you know, craft products like that, or contracting, or cutting hair, or whatever. Is there help out there for people in that my business is me situation?
Yes, of course. And it's, you know, he brought up a great point that I wanted to speak to first. We see kind of two age groups for entrepreneurs. The 20-somethings, you know, the people with their hair on fire, and they're going to change the world, and it's great. And they're all more often tech entrepreneurs. We see fewer in their 30s, 40s, and into the 50s a little bit, because they're perhaps already in stable careers. They got a great job. They're doing what they want to do. And then as people get a little bit older, they might be looking at turning a hobby, which was just mentioned, into an avocation or a small company. And there's nothing wrong with just being, you know, a mom and pop. Now, in terms of where he can find some help, you know, I think looking for the Small Business Development Center in that region, I believe it's attached to the UW-Green Bay in this case. I think some of Wisconsin's tech colleges do an excellent job in trying to help people who are going to be, you know, kind of hands-on entrepreneurs and who are looking for opportunities, and they can help, you know, point to resources either they have or other resources in the community. You know, it doesn't sound like in this case he wants to be a gazelle, you know, a fast running company that adds a ton of jobs. Sounds like he's looking for something that'll be gratifying, pay a few bills, maybe not employ anybody else other than himself. But those are some of the places to start looking. And, you know, the Green Bay Area Chamber of Commerce is another excellent source. They actually have some folks who are really dedicated to looking at young startups.
Pat, thanks a lot for the call. Good luck getting that started. We are talking to Tom Still from the Wisconsin Technology Council about creating new businesses in Wisconsin, the resources that are out there, opportunities in the biggest communities and small and mid-sized towns as well. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Gene is with us in Williams Bay. Gene, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Gene?
I wanted to mention University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, and which would also lead, I hope, to some of the other universities that do have incubators and or assistants. But I know I had a business magazine in Kenosha covering a three-county area back in the, my memory's going, but I think it was in the late 90s. And at that time, I had a guy who contributed some business articles and also was running the business incubator at UW-Whitewater. And I was up in Whitewater the other day going through my old alma mater and saw the beautiful facility they have now that is used to assist business startups. And I believe it's one of the more outstanding ones in the state. But I was wondering if your guests could comment on what the universities can do.
Interesting. Gene, thanks for bringing that up. That I think that would be the Whitewater University Innovation Center she's talking about, Tom?
Yes, they have a really fine innovation and technology center at Whitewater, which is has really long been an active campus in this regard. They have a tech side, as you might imagine, but they also have one of the best business schools in the state. And so they've got a combination there that has seemed to work for a lot of entrepreneurs. We've held some programming there over time. It's really an outstanding place. And earlier when I was talking about WISIS and some of the other comprehensive campuses around the state, that's the term for the four-year but not non-doctoral campuses. Whitewater's right up there. I mean, they have been active in this regard. They work with their students. They work with their faculty. And sometimes some of the best partnerships you see are faculty and students who may be working together on an idea, and they turn it into a young company. So I think Whitewater is a really fine example, and not far from a lot of resources elsewhere like Milwaukee and Madison.
Gene, thanks a lot for that call. Tom, how about technical colleges around the state? Are they involved in this process?
Absolutely. You know, I noted, for example, there's the, you know, the tech colleges in Northeast Wisconsin, mm-hmm. but Fox Valley Tech, and obviously the Fox Valley has several campuses. We have held some of our events there as well. They do a lot in this regard. Gateway Tech in Southeast Wisconsin is really active. Western Tech in La Crosse is one of the fine assets they have in that city. And you can go on and on. Rock County's got Blackhawk Tech. So, you know, overall, there are 16 tech districts in Wisconsin with about close to 50, you know, different campuses, which sounds like a lot. And it may well be, but each one of them has a different sort of way of approaching this notion of entrepreneurism and technical assistance.
Thanks again for that call. Tom, is there a a challenge, an obstacle you hear from a lot of the startup business people you work with that you think might be resolvable?
Well, it's interesting. Some of the challenges that we might encounter, depending on where you are in Wisconsin, would be, again, you know, broadband. I mean, it's not perfect everywhere, that's for sure. Getting better, but there's still some issues with that. And we see that, you know, particularly the more rural the area, the more you see it. For companies that are maybe a little bit beyond early stage, but growing, some communities don't have the housing they might want for their employees. That could be an issue. And if that housing comes with young families, well, there might be a childcare issue attached to that as well. So, you know, the notion of expanding the economy in Wisconsin is very multifaceted. Some communities are a little better set up than others. Some communities have great patrons, and I mentioned this earlier. You know, if you go to Eau Claire, you get someone like Zach Homestead, who started a company called Jamf, which is now all over the world. He's been giving back a lot in that community. If you go to Rock County, you get people like Diane Hendricks, who's given so much, especially around Beloit and the accelerator there. You go to La Crosse, you get Don Weber, who started Logistics Health. And you also get Don Zietlow from Quick Trip. So these are folks who are very focused on their communities and are trying to find organized ways to give back and to work with young companies because they recognize that it's going to be the future for those communities.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Tom Still, president of the Wisconsin Technology Council, looking at startup businesses here in Wisconsin. Tomorrow on Central Time, the day after Election Day, we'll find out what we know and don't know about the outcomes in Wisconsin and around the country. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. Coming up after the news, we'll hear about some great book-to-movie adaptations and others that didn't work out quite so well. And you could share yours right now over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. What do you think is the best book-to-movie adaptation? What is one that let you down? I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, the holidays are quickly approaching, which means a lot of airline travel. We'll look at airline trends and get some advice on booking a ticket. First, it's Election Day, and here at Central Time, we usually take a day off of talking about the elections while people are going to the polls. Now we're going to have some fun with it. You are our guest, and the topic is books that get made into movies. You can join in right now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What is your favorite book that was turned into a movie? Is there one where you feel like the movie really did justice to the book? Or is there a movie that came out worse than the original or left out something important or just missed the spirit of the book or short story it was based on? Or is there a novel maybe that you want to see a movie version of that hasn't happened yet? Or maybe the one that hasn't happened didn't do the job for you. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your book to movie recommendations or anti-recommendations. 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@wpr.org. We already heard from Nicole on the Ideas Network Facebook page, who says the best two book-to-movie adaptations are Princess Bride and Stardust. Both had absolutely stellar cast and script. And Nicole says, I enjoy the movies even more than the books. Two great ones to start with, Princess Bride and Stardust. Hey, speaking of now Stardust, that's Neil Gaiman. Another Neil Gaiman, we asked around here at Wisconsin Public Media, Judith Marie Heise, he says, we enjoyed the Coraline film adaptation. Is great. Both the book and movie are great. The film illuminates the book in a different but also magical way. Here is a listen to a bit of Coraline.
You're just in time for supper, dear. You're not my mother. My mother doesn't have buttons. Do you like them? I'm your other mother, silly. Now go tell your other father that supper's ready.
That was a pretty good one, actually. Animated, which I don't always go for, but I think it really did the job for the Neil Gaiman original. Judith also mentioned liking a Western romance, The Horse Whisperer, way better than the book, she says. Robert Redford significantly changed the ending, spoilers, and made an insufferable book into a tolerable movie. Well cast all around, she says. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Bernadette is with us in Delafield. Bernadette, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think one of the best books in the world and best movie from the book was To Kill a Mockingbird, my favorite. So,
is that when you go back and either watch and or read, Bernadette?
Oh, yes, both. Yeah, definitely.
Excellent.
Definitely worth it.
A good classic. Thank you for getting us started, Bernadette, at 800-642-1234. Mark joins us now in De Pere. Mark, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was really impressed by the Lord of the Rings trilogy that was put together by those movie makers in New Zealand. They really got the spirit of the books by J.R. Tolkien. But I'm very disappointed by this newest rendition that Amazon is putting together called The Rings of Power.
Mm-hmm.
They're really missing the central theme that we usually see in the original works.
And Mark, I got to ask, I agree with you on Lord of the Rings. I haven't watched Rings of Power. Where are you on the Hobbit movies?
The Hobbit movie, it was also, I felt they really stretched it out to make three movies. It did not need to be three movies except for a way to make it a franchise that could make a lot of money.
I am right there with you, Mark. We also heard from Tony Bartolotti here at Wisconsin Public Media, who gave us an extensive list of movies, including the original Lord of the Rings. So I've got a little Gandalf ready for you here.
A wizard is never late, nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to.
Same goes for script edits. Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Kirk joins us now in Madison. Kirk, hi.
Hi, yes. My favorite novel turned into a film is The Lave of Heaven by Ursula Le Guin. And it was produced by PBS in 1980. It appeared as a full-length feature film, for those who remember back in 1980, The Lave of Heaven. Are you familiar with it?
I like Ursula Le Guin. I have not read that book, and I haven't seen the movie.
Oh, that is such a great film, and just wonderful acting and soundtrack. The one that I wish was a film was the famous fantasy series Elric of Melniboné by Michael Moorcock.
And there's a zillion of those books, right? That's not just one novel.
Yeah, there's like 10 Michael Moorcock of Elric.
Excellent.
And there's been many attempts, and this is one of those books where the director gave up. It was never completed by I think four different directors attempted, because the story is so, incredible. Mm. And it's really very readable. Like, you would, when you finish the first one, you want to immediately read the second.
Kirk, thanks a lot for sharing the recommendation and the hope for that movie to come through in the future. We are asking for you to call in and share your favorite book-to-movie adaptations, or ones that you think got it wrong, or, as we heard from Kirk there, ones you'd like to see someday. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Here again around Wisconsin Public Media, Marcus Cruz from the Educational Communications Board says, with the expansion of Star Wars movies and TV shows, I'd love to see a movie or TV show of the Darth Bane trilogy written by Drew Karpyshyn. I haven't read that. There's a lot of Star Wars books out there that could be future TV shows or movies. Kate Sullivan says, I want to see Jennifer Egan's A Visit from the Goon Squad and Candy House. Back to your calls now. Cameron is with us, calling from here in Wisconsin. Cameron, hi.
I love your guys' show.
Thanks.
Very, very interesting topic. if you guys remember back in 1973, a little movie called The Exorcist came out and shocked half the nation. But that movie was actually first written as a novel by William Peter Blatty.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the movie. I haven't read the book. Have you read the book?
I have not read the book, but I've heard William Peter Blatty talk about the book, and he actually wrote the book from a position of a factual story that happened to a 12-year-old boy instead of a 13-year-old girl.
Huh. Interesting.
So, yeah, I found that interesting. And the director himself, William Friedkin, he's best known for The French Connection. He directed The Exorcist. He also attacked that movie from a standpoint of faith, not so much along the lines of a horror movie, but more as a documentary from the writings of William Peter Blatty.
Gotcha. Cameron, thanks a lot. Interesting. I guess I knew vaguely that it was a book, but I haven't read that one. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Tom joins us now in Green Bay. Tom, what's your movie?
Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand.
Mm-hmm.
The book is a considerable read, but they tried to make three movies out of it, and the first two were such poor failures. Never even happened. The characters were stale. I don't even know who directed it, but it was a very poor adaptation.
Two, you said the first two. How about the third one, the third try?
The third, they tried to make it a trilogy, but the third one was never produced.
Oh,
to my knowledge.
See what you're saying. I thought you meant there were three different versions. It was a trilogy that didn't get completed. Oh no.
Right, yeah. The book was pretty thick, and so anyways.
Hard to make. Tom, thanks for sharing that one. We are taking your comments, your favorite book-to-movie transitions, or as Tom mentioned, your failed book-to-movie transitions. We've got Diego with us now in Madison. Diego, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your book-to-movie?
Mine is Where the Crawdad Sings. I know people are always going to say the book's 100 times better, but I really think the film did it justice. It was perfectly made with the right actors. I just loved it.
You know, Diego, I've looked at some lists where people just rated best book to movie transitions, and that one did pop up in a couple, so you are not completely alone on this one.
Oh, yeah, I just feel like the actors did an amazing job. I mean, the ending was just perfect.
Excellent. Diego, thanks for sharing that. Mary Sue is with us now in West Bend. Mary Sue, do you have some books to movies to share with us?
Yes, I have. I thought one of the best adaptations I've ever seen is the movie The Book Thief from the book of the same title. I thought they just did a terrific job. It was a wonderful book, and I was afraid to see the movie, but I actually have seen it twice.
Oh, wow.
And I might just see it again sometime because I just thought they brought to life the characters. It gave a different dimension. I thought the acting was one. Anyways, obviously I liked it a lot.
I guess so.
And I don't usually.
Mary Sue, I'm glad that one held up for you, despite your fear about it. Thanks for that call. We're asking for your calls about books that get turned into movies. Let us know if you have a favorite, one that let you down, one that you want to see happen. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now we're taking your calls about books that get turned into movies. For better or worse, let us know your favorite or your fails at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Before we go back to your calls, we asked around here at Wisconsin Public Media, got a couple classic recommendations. Norman Gilliland says Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca, the 1940 Alfred Hitchcock adaptation. Jill Nadeau says the Harry Potter movies let her down, but she loved Emma Thompson's version of Sense and Sensibility. Here's a listen.
Though he may harbor some regret, I believe that he will be happy in the knowledge that he did his duty and kept his word. After all, that is bewitching in the idea of one's happiness entirely depending on one person. It is not always possible, we must accept. Edward will marry Lucy, and you and I will go home.
Oh, boy. I hope things work out for her. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234 with Helene in Lake Delton. Helene, what's your movie?
Oh, the movie was a book and a movie, of course. The movie I saw was Giant, and I was a teenager then, and I was a long time ago. But, I loved the movie so much, so I got the book, Edna Ferber's Giant. I couldn't imagine how that woman had ever gotten a Pulitzer Prize from her writing, because there was just nothing that the book added to the movie whatsoever. I was bitterly disappointed.
Oh, no. We're talking Giant. That's the one with James Dean, right?
I believe. Oh, yes. Right. For sure. And she was raised in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Oh, no kidding.
She wasn't born in Wisconsin. She was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan, but she was raised in Appleton.
Helene, thanks so much for sharing that. A nice Wisconsin connection there. I appreciate that. We'll go now to Caleb in Nina. Caleb, hi.
Oh, hey there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. What is your book to movie?
Oh, perfect. So I was thinking of Westworld. It was a really old book, and then they made it into a pretty old movie, but most recently they've had a TV show on HBO, and that's really amazing.
My wife's been watching that TV show. Now, the book was that Michael Crichton originally?
Yes, it is. It is. Yep,
and,
exactly.
And the movie, I never saw the movie. Is that Yul Brynner as the robot cowboy gone bad? Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I do think you got it right there.
Awesome. And have you seen the movie, Caleb?
Yes, I have a while ago. It's it's an older movie, but it's kind of fun with the special effects and whatnot, seeing all they can do back in the 70s or 80s.
Awesome, Caleb. Thanks a lot for joining the conversation. We are asking you to share book-to-movie recommendations, ones that let you down, ones you want to see. We've gotten some of everything. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. Eric is with us. Erica is with us from Lake Tomahawk. Erica, hi.
Hello. I love the African Queen.
Oh, I've seen the movie. Have you read the book?
I have, indeed. I have. I have it in paper and on my Kindle, and we have the CD. We've gone from VHS to CD. We watch a lot of Bogey, but that one I thought was magnificent.
Yeah, I guess they got a couple pretty good lead actors for that, huh? Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. 800-642-1234 is the number for you to share book-to-movie adaptations for better or worse. Tim joins us now in Nisida. Tim, hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
What's your book that got made into a movie?
So the book is called Piece of Cake. It's by an author named Derek Robinson. It's about a squadron during World War II, of British pilots, and it was made into a British miniseries. I think it was 6 1-hour episodes, and you can get it now on DVD.
Excellent. Now, how old is this film, I guess, adaptation or miniseries adaptation?
Oh, boy. I read the book in grade school, which if I do the math, it was probably 30 years ago.
Okay, cool. That sounds pretty good, Tim. Thanks a lot for sharing that. We've heard from some of you online in various ways. Carol from Mount Horeb says, pay it forward. That author, all of her books could be a movie so good. Got an email recommending, Snow Falling on Cedars. The emailer enjoyed the book. Movie adaptation did not disappoint. That's from, Sandra. Okay, cool. Thank you. You could email ideas@wpr.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. Brad is with us in... Is that Wenasha?
Yep.
Okay, great. Brad, what is your book to movie?
I would have to say it's What's Eating Gilbert Grape, written by Peter Hedges. And the movie starred Johnny Depp,
yep,
Leonardo DiCaprio, and Juliette Lewis. And I think it was probably, in my opinion, one of Leonardo's earliest roles, but also probably one of his best performances.
It's a burger barn, Gilbert, right?
Yep, you got it.
Now, I've seen the movie. Obviously, I haven't read the book, though. Is that worth reading?
Yeah, it definitely is.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Now we'll go to Anita in DeSoto. Anita, hi.
Hi. I wanted to recommend a book to be made into a movie called Palace Walk. We just read it for our book club. It was originally written in 1956, I believe, in Arabic, and then it was subsequently translated. And interestingly, one of the editors is Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis.
No, oh, that's Naguib Mahfouz. I don't know if I'm saying the author's name right. Big name author from Egypt, I think, right? And you thought the in translation worked pretty well for you?
Right, right. He was from Cairo. And then it's actually part of a trilogy. So the Palace Walk takes place in 1917. And then he wrote two subsequent volumes called Palace of Desire and then Sugar Street. And I, from what I understand, those take place a year later. So,
interesting.
2018 and 2019. So it'd be wonderful to see the whole kit and caboodle made into a series. That would be wonderful.
Fantastic. Interesting recommendation. I appreciate that. We are taking your book to movie favorites, least favorites, and as we just heard, recommendations, ones you want to see made into movies. Back to your calls now. Brandon is with us in Baraboo. Brandon, hi.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. What's your book?
So the book that I'd like to see actually remade is Count of Monte Cristo. So there's a 2002 film, and up until I read the book, it was one of my absolute favorite movies. I loved it. It's got Jim Caviezel in it. It's very well done. But then I went back years later and ended up reading the book, and the book is so much better than the movie is. I think it definitely deserves a remake into a miniseries.
I've read the book and I liked it. I remember like it because it's got Guy Pearce was also in that. Luis Guzman, yeah, I always like him.
Yes,
there's good actors in it, but you think they could do better?
I think there's a lot more intrigue in the book that warrants a miniseries remake. I think the BBC would be a great venue for that.
Excellent
that series.
Awesome. Well, I'm hoping that happens for you. Thanks a lot for calling. Oh, time for a couple more callers. Andy is with us in Appleton. Andy, hi.
Pleasantries. I was super disappointed when I was halfway through the book, The Da Vinci Code, and loving all the twists and turns and the investigations and the previews the movie came out with Tom Hanks. It totally shattered my image of what the main characters look like.
See, that is the curse sometimes when it gets made into a movie. If you've got your vision of it and then somebody else tells you their vision of it, yeah, you couldn't. Did you stop reading those books then after that?
No, I finished it. But I'll tell you, even though the movie was totally entertaining, I felt like I was robbed.
Oh,
so
no.
I could not enjoy it.
Sorry about that, Andy. Thanks a lot. Also, I think I may just start conversations with pleasantries. We used to end conversations here at WPR with like awkward pause or something like that and then just walk away from each other. Bill, thanks for that, Andy. Bill joins us now in The Only Wanakee in the World. Bill, what is your movie?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that was a book, I guess. Yeah, tell us about the book. Have you read it?
A long, long time ago.
Okay.
And actually, I have another one, Little Big Man. I read both the book and the movie. I thought both were incredibly entertaining. But again, very long time ago and kind of hard to remember other than that they were really enjoyable.
That's awesome. Well, maybe go back and give them another read and or watch. Bill, thanks a lot for the call. We heard from some more people around here at Wisconsin Public Media. Tom Blaine says, almost invariably, I feel that movies have to sacrifice the subtle in-depth setup and development books can afford. But that said, he says a movie that comes to mind that was at least as good as a book was Winter's Bone, which brought a very young Jennifer Lawrence into the spotlight. Alyssa Tagan says, I thought Ava DuVernay did a good job with Wrinkle in Time, but my kids were bummed they didn't put in the part about Aunt Beast. But Alyssa says the Percy Jackson movie did not hold up. Well, you could keep sharing your favorite, least favorite, or the books you want to see made into a movie. Let us know over on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Coming up after the news, air travel seems to be bouncing back with a lot of people getting ready to fly for the holidays. Look at the latest airline trends and what you need to know before booking your holiday travel tickets. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time. This is the Ideas Network.